Good morning, everybody. You're all very welcome to our Connect service this morning. And if you're here for the first time, you're visiting us, you're especially welcome. We're delighted to welcome you, as in these services right throughout the year, we have been thinking about different people who are encountering Jesus. And today we're going to think about a conversation that Jesus had with a lawyer who was asking very big and very searching questions. So we're going to be thinking about that in our service today. And I wanted to mention just a few notices for the week that is to come. Hopefully you'll have seen some of these on the way in on the screen. But I wanted to mention in particular that tomorrow, that's Monday at 12:45, the funeral service is taking place in the church of Mrs. Pat McCurley. That's tomorrow at 12:45. On Tuesday morning at 11, the Craigha Crafters are meeting for a coffee gathering. That's up in Hillmount. All are welcome to gather for a cup of coffee in Hillmount at 11. And then on Wednesday evening, there's the last Pilates class before the summer break. So that last chance to get it all done before you go away is this coming Wednesday. Pickleball is happening on Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And then on Thursday, our parish prayers take place over Zoom. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, Holy Communion at 11, and next Sunday evening at 7, the service of Compline. Also wanted to give a little bit of advance notice. We've begun the process of preparing on Saturday, the 6th of September, which is a couple of months away. We're hoping to have a community fun day here in the church and on the grounds. And we want it to be an opportunity really to invite our neighbours and everybody around in the local area to come in and to have the experience of visiting the church. We hope to have lots of different attractions and stalls and games and refreshments. And it's one of those events that we believe is really, really important as we try to encourage new people into the life of the church. And if you can help on that day, Saturday the 6th of September, it's going to be between 1 and 4. And there's going to be all sorts of tasks and jobs to do. But there is a little bit of a list with the wardens. I think Trevor has the list at the back of the church. And if you are able to help on that day, Saturday the 6th of September, between 1 and 4, maybe you could give Trevor your name and your phone number. And we have an ever-expanding list of tasks that you could be called upon to do. And we would love your help as we try to welcome in our neighbours and the local community just to be part of various things that might happen here over the next year. So we hope it'll be a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend. It's the weekend that's closest to our Foundation Day, and we hope to have a special service on the Sunday, and we hope that there'll be other things happening over that weekend. But if you can help, please do have a word with Trevor and sign up that list, which he has, as we look forward to that day in September. But as we come together this morning, we're going to just take a little moment to slow down and to be still and to focus our thoughts on God as we come into his presence. And as we do so, we're going to use a prayer that will appear on the screen. But just as we do so, let's just still our hearts and open our lives to him and to what he might want to say to us today. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. So as we invite God to be in our midst, as we worship together, we're going to stand to sing our first song. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. So if you'd like to be seated. One of the things about coming into the presence of God is that we realize there are times when we have not been the people that He would want us to be. And one of the lovely things about God's grace is that He offers us the opportunity to start afresh whenever we come to Him. And so we're going to take the opportunity now just to be still again and to maybe reflect on those areas in our lives where we need His grace and His correction and His help as we say sorry to Him and we seek His forgiveness and the opportunity to start again. So we're going to pray the prayer which we will see on the screen. God of everlasting love,
God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We've served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and one another. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Merciful Father, grant to all your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we give thanks for God's grace, we sing our second song as we appreciate all that He has done for us in our lives. Jesus, strong and kind.
Thank you.
If you'd like to be seated, I'm going to invite Megan to come and bring our first Bible reading to us.
The reading is from the Gospel of Luke, beginning verse 10, beginning at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side of the road. So too, a Levite, when he saw the man, he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one he had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Here ends the reading.
So we're going to respond to that reading as we stand together, and we're going to declare our faith in God. Let us declare our faith in God.
We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God,
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you'd like to be seated, Neil's going to bring our second Bible reading to us.
Our reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, beginning at verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these 2 commandments." Here ends the reading.
So let's stand now to sing our next song as we sing Across the Lands.
Thank you.
if you'd like to be seated. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for your holy word, and we thank you for its power to change our lives from the inside out. We pray that as we reflect on what you are saying to us, we pray that your cry of love would flow out from this place, right into our community and across the land, and that you would be at the very center of all we seek to be and to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So over this past year, in the monthly Connect service, we've been looking at the impact that Jesus had on different people when they encountered him. And sometimes we've seen that they were healed, and sometimes they were rescued from a sense of lacking purpose or direction. And sometimes when Jesus met people, they were at some sort of crossroads in their lives. They were seeking guidance, and he offered it to them in his own unique way. And so in today's service, we see Jesus encountering a lawyer. We heard it twice. He was speaking to these lawyers, these people who were asking big questions. And of course, lawyers are very good at asking questions to get to the heart of the matter. And here, I think, is one of those kinds of questions that I want to throw out there. And I want you to think about this as a question for a minute. When you ask a question, is it because A, you want the answer, or B, because you want to catch somebody out? So when you're asking a question, do you want the answer, or do you want to ask that question so that you can catch somebody out? Let me give you a silly example. Supposing after the 9 o'clock service this morning in church, I found £20 in one of the pews in the church. And then I came over into this service and I said, I wonder, has anybody lost £20? £20 seems to have been found this morning between the car park and the hall. And then 4 people came up to speak to me after the service. And 3 of them told me that they seemed to have lost £20 somewhere between the car and making their way into the hall. And then the 4th one very quietly tells me that after church last Sunday, when they got home, they noticed that the £20 they were going to give to their grandson after church was missing, and they wondered if anybody had handed it in. You'd know pretty quickly whose it was, wouldn't you? So by suggesting a location, and if that's what I did, you're perhaps trying to catch some people out, and you're indirectly confirming the truth. So it would be a rather devious kind of way to do it, but it might be a way that we might consider getting to the truth and to the heart of the matter. And the lawyer that Megan told us about in Luke chapter 10 has a very big question about eternal life. It's one of those big, big questions, and it is very genuine. He wants to know, what does he have to do to gain or to enter eternal life? And Jesus engages with that lawyer in a very honest way, and he answers him with a combination of 2 very well-known scriptures about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And when Jesus is answering in this way, he's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he's quoting from Leviticus chapter 19. And what's more, Orthodox Jewish people would have carried these scriptures that were at the very heart of their faith very often in a little box that was either attached to their wrist or maybe to their forehead. And it was a box called a phylactery. And so essentially, when Jesus answered the lawyer, he was telling him, you know, you can read the answer to your own question. If you look at that little box that's attached to your wrist, that's where you'll find the answer to your question. And as that answer in itself wasn't groundbreaking, and it was very clearly stated in the scriptures, we then see that the lawyer, he starts to try to narrow it down to a more manageable level. And of course, lawyers love definition, and they love clarity. And what I take from the questions that the lawyer exchanged with Jesus, and the question he asked is, who is my neighbor? And really what that lawyer is doing is he's making a request for the minimum that I need to do in order to be seen to be complying with the law. Or put it another way, what is the least that I could do and I would still look like a good Jewish person? And of course, we might condemn the lawyer and say he's been very nitpicky and being very specific in his questions. But the reality is we all do these kinds of things in terms of social conventions. So sometimes you might be at the school gate and you're starting to talk to the other parents who are waiting there, and you start to ask these questions. What's the going rate these days in terms of children's parties? How much do you give? How much could you get away with and still not look mean? Or you might have a conversation with other people about wedding presents. That's a tricky one, isn't it? What should you give? What should you give? Would that look a little bit, you know, bit tight? Or would that be okay? Or if you're going to visit somebody that you don't know very well for dinner, what's the safe thing to do? Do you bring a bunch of flowers? Do you bring a bottle of wine? Maybe they don't drink. What do you do? So we're all sort of inclined to ask these little questions that maybe define things a little bit more for us. And we're maybe a little bit sort of accusatory of this lawyer who was seeming to be a little bit sort of picky with his questions. And Jesus answered that question by probably telling one of the most famous stories in the Bible. Most of us, even if we have a very, very sketchy knowledge of the Bible or church, will have heard this story before. The story about the traveler who got beaten up on a dangerous road and was left to die on the side of the road after he was robbed. And we know how the priest and the Levite, the ones that we would expect to help, they can justify to themselves why they didn't get involved. And it might be because they didn't want to become ritually unclean. They wanted to not be seen to break those regulations of touching somebody who was bleeding and so on. But what is shocking in that story is that the one who is ethnically an enemy, the Samaritan, he's the one who not only gets involved, but he gets totally immersed in showing care and love and compassion. And he not only binds up the wounds of that poor man who was robbed and left at the side of the road, but he takes that injured man to an inn to be taken care of. And I've heard various retellings of that story, and maybe it might use Catholics and Protestants, or it might use people of different skin colors or ethnic backgrounds, but they're all essentially making the same point as that story. And the one who is truly a neighbor is the one who shows love and compassion, and that humanity often transcends the barriers that we tend to put up between people through our own prejudices. And in the second reading that Neil read for us, again, we heard another lawyer and an expert in the law, and he was trying to explain Christianity in a nutshell. Again, using those verses, the same verses we heard in the first passage about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. And whenever I hear that reading, and because it's so familiar, I would imagine most people could almost quote that reading to me if I were to ask you to this morning. It sounds so lovely and so idealistic, doesn't it? When the reality of loving God with all that we have and loving our neighbor as ourselves, that's often in reality much, much messier. You see, I would really want to be that loving person who loves God and who loves my neighbor. But sometimes the reality is that's more than I can do in my own strength. Some of you will have heard in the news about 6 months ago about the terrible fire that destroyed Green Island Parish Church back in September 2024. They were having an anniversary weekend, and there was lots and lots of people gathering in that parish for that weekend of celebration. And on the Sunday night after the celebrations, the church and the hall were destroyed. And it was discovered that the fire which burned the church and the hall was started deliberately by 3 young lads aged between 10 and 11. And rather than press charges, the church made the very difficult decision to engage in a restorative justice project with the young offenders. And my friend Chris, who's the curate there, he's spoken here before, has been working weekly with these 3 young boys, along with some of the parishioners in the church. And together, each week, they've been salvaging stuff that was burned and destroyed, and they have been repurposing it. They've been painting things. They have been setting out tables and chairs for services in the temporary accommodation that the church is using. The young lads have been helping to set up the audiovisual equipment, and they've been delivering invitations and flyers to the local community, telling about services and events and showing that the church is still very much open for business. And in the immediate aftermath of that terrible attack, the rector of the church was asked by the media what she would say to the perpetrators of the arson attack. And this was before it was discovered who they were. And at that moment, she said that she would like to embrace them. And she said she would like to tell them, whoever they were, that Jesus loved them and that they would be welcome in their community. And as I heard about this very messy and very, very challenging project, working with these broken young people who had caused such destruction and heartbreak to the church community, I couldn't help thinking when I heard about what was going on, that actually this is the kind of thing Jesus spoke about in his answer to the lawyer. This was the embodiment in that context of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And of course, that's not so easy to hear. I like the idea of loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, strength, and loving my neighbor as myself. But if something similar had happened in my own context, would I have had the grace to enter into a project of this kind? And of course, the answer will be different for every one of us as we think about our own context and we think about our own lives. But what would it look like for you and for me to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the important questions that people felt free to ask you. And we pray for all at this time who have big questions about the life of faith and those who are searching for answers. And we pray that as we engage with all who have questions and as we engage with our own questions, you would meet with us and that you would help us to discover your truth and more of your love in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we reflect on those things, during our next song, we're going to receive our offering, and we're going to sing, "In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found."
Time.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the power of your word to transform us. Thank you that you care about each one of our hearts and about each one of our characters. Help us to allow you to rebuild us from the inside. And when there are aspects of our character that are less than they should be, would you reshape and remake us? Help us in the first instance to be people of love and compassion. Enable us to look beyond our own prejudices and to reach out with your love and compassion to all we encounter who are in need. Help us to be unafraid of questions, but may our questions be genuine and heartfelt as we seek to learn more of you and your ways. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, we want to pray this morning for all those who are going through very challenging situations, who have genuine questions about your goodness and your presence in their lives. We remember especially all those who have been bereaved in the flash floods in Texas, all those who have lost loved ones at a Christian camp. And we pray too for all who've been involved in the rescue operation. We pray too for all those who've been bereaved in car accidents here in our own country and in Spain and throughout the world this week. We pray for all those who have been bereaved also in incidents of domestic violence and tragedy. And we pray for those who mourn in our own local community, as we remember especially the family and friends of Pat McCurley, whose funeral will take place tomorrow. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort and support all who mourn in their difficult time of loss. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray today for the sick, the poor, and those in any kind of trouble. We pray especially for those who are in our thoughts and on our minds, who are sick at home or in hospital, maybe going through treatment or preparing for surgery, or awaiting anxiously the results of tests. Lord, we pray for all who are in those places right now, and we pray for their family and friends as they support them. And we ask that you would be very real and very near. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So as we prepare to go out into a new week, we're going to pray together as we draw our prayers to a close in the words of the prayer that you'll see on the screen. And it's a prayer that really asks us to help. It asks God to help us as we seek to live for him in our daily lives. We go out into the world.
We go out into the world
to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let's stand as we sing Ancient of Days. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
We join together to sing our closing song, He Will Hold Me Fast.
Never.
Thank you to everybody for sharing with us in our service today, and thank you too to all who've been joining us online. Just as we prepare to go out into the world, a little reminder again, if you can help us on September the 6th, Trevor has a list at the back of the church, and if you can help us just to put away some tables and chairs and set up perhaps for tomorrow for the funeral service, that would be really helpful. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.